Well, let's go to the Word of God tonight because we have some, I believe, some beautiful verses here. I want to look at actually two verses tonight in chapter number 10. And they are verses 22 and 23. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Tremendous, tremendous thoughts here as we come to God's Word tonight. Let's pray once again. Father, thank You that we have the privilege, we have an opportunity tonight to turn to Your Word. Lord, we grieve over the thoughts of folks who behave as we hear of these that are coming. Lord, we would ask You to thwart their plans. Lord, we just ask You to do that. Lord, that our boys might have the proper respect. Lord, I pray that You might bless tonight as we look to Your Word. I pray that You just open our hearts to it. May You be honored by what we say and do tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have seen in this chapter, matter of fact, the last time we met and dealt with chapter 10, four great blessings of our new worship. In verses 19, 20, and 21, we found that the holiest is opened up. In other words, you and I have the privilege to enter in to fellowship with God. He's referring back to the Old Testament and the tabernacle, the temple, and the place where God met with these people. However, in the Old Testament, that was once a year with the high priest, but that veil has been rent. And the place the priest once went to serve now is one room in connection with the abode of God, showing us that service and fellowship are our venue. And you and I have a wonderful privilege. We have the privilege to go into that. We have the boldness to enter because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing that you and I have done, but certainly what He did for us. We find that He refers to it as a new and living way. It was, in the Old Testament, we could call it an old way, and it was death that brought the blood to be placed there once a year. But now, once in the end, when Jesus has given of His blood, this way is open for all of us, and it's a way of life. Praise God for that. And we have, in this place, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have had a lot of dealings in the last several weeks as we studied Hebrews with some of the intricacies of doctrine. Now we are coming to some very practical application of all of that doctrine. And I believe that application is brought to us very vividly in verse number 22 when He is saying, "Let us draw near." What's the purpose of all that? God wants you and I to come into close fellowship with Him. God wants us near unto Himself. The Lord Jesus introduced to us a relatively new concept concerning our Father. Old Testament, He was God. He was Jehovah. He was looked upon as not only the sovereign one, but the judge. But now, He is our Father. It's a relationship type that God wants you and I to be in. And so we have this practicality placed upon us, and we are admonished through that to draw near unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about how you and I need to abide in Him. Remember John chapter 15, by the way, one of the great chapters of all the Bible, or actually we could call it several chapters, the Olivet Discourse from John 13 to 17, particularly I love chapter 14 and 15, but in these we find the Lord is talking about how we can have that beautiful relationship with Him. In chapter Number 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you." And then he gives a great illustration. He says, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so or no more can ye, except ye abide in me." And so the Lord is teaching us the way to real service is abiding in Him. The way to really have the right kind of work in our lives is what? To be in an abiding position with Him. In other words, we need to be dwelling close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find in verse number 22 some tremendous thoughts. We find in this verse four chief marks of a worshiper. And I want us to see these in connection with how the Lord is saying, let us draw near. Notice, first of all, with a true heart. You wouldn't believe my notes. I did not use spell check, evidently. I spelled true, T-U-R-E. That's close. And God wants us to come to Him with a true heart, not a tour heart, all right? A true heart. It's the heart of an individual that God is interested in. It is the heart that gives the real inner man his character. Okay? That is what God looks upon. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 4, it says, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." That is applied particularly to ladies, but it's really applicable to all of us, that God is looking upon what? The heart. When Samuel went to Jesse's sons, what did he say? He said, he's not looking upon the outer man, he's looking at the inner man. He's seeking for not the appearance of what's on the outside, but what is in the heart. And so God is interested in the heart. However, far too often, when you and I think of God, we think of Him and seek to serve Him in Old Testament or Old Covenant manner. We see serving God as a duty. We see it as giving Him a portion of our time. But here's what happens so often. We come to a church service, let's say, or we pick up our Bible and we read, or we have a little time of prayer in our lives, and as soon as we're done, our hearts are turned to worldly things, which suggests to me that we have very little heart in it. I believe there's a reason for that. And I believe the reason is that we've yet to discover something that is very important. And that is, we go by our feelings far too much. And we often don't feel like we have a true heart. And because we don't feel like it, we don't really come into this contact with God that we really ought to have. The very act of wanting to enter into this position of closeness with God really is a proof of a true heart. Let me try to illustrate this. We find the Lord Jesus Christ as a man that has a hand that is withered. And as this man comes to the Lord Jesus, this hand is of no value. This hand is without feeling. It does not have what it needs. And yet Jesus says to him, "Stretch forth thine hand." The man, desiring for Jesus to do something, stretches forth his hand. Does he have feeling in his hand? No. He is listening to the words of Christ, and he stretches it forth. He's seeking for Him to do something in his life, and Jesus heals him. The feelings come afterwards. And so often, the reason we do not think we can come to God with a true heart is because we just don't have those really spiritual religious feelings like we think we ought to have. You know what I'm trying to say? And it's a matter of, hey, I want that in my life. I don't have the feelings. I don't know, you know, what it is inside, but I know that's what I want. And that's the kind of person that God wants to fellowship. And He's the one whom God then works in our hearts and lives. That's a true heart. Because it has that desire. Notice secondly, He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We can have full assurance that we are near when we have the desire to be. Did you catch that? We can have the full assurance we are near when we have the desire to be. We may not feel like it, but we are near. Why? Because we want to. Because we have that desire to inside. It may not be the warm, fuzzy feeling, but we know inside, I want to be close to God. I don't feel some of those things, but I know that in my mind. I know that to be true. I believe that feelings come after we are in His presence. The problem we find today in Christianity, especially as we go to church services, and it's really caused, I believe, a problem in people's minds, is that somehow they want to have those feelings worked up by the music. And so the music works them up, gets them into the frenzy, if you so please, and now they really feel like they are worshiping when, by the way, they aren't. Because they're going strictly by the feelings. But when we come to the presence of God because we desire to know Him, then real feelings come. And by the way, that's when the music starts. Because then it's in your soul. If the only way they can get a song out of you is somebody has to lead you, maybe that's not Spirit-induced. By the way, emotions are wonderful. Amen? The Spirit of God gives tremendous emotions, and God does those kinds of things in our lives. But we've got to understand, we come to Him because we desire, and He brings those as He wants to do so. And so He gives a full assurance of faith. Faith, by the way, doesn't deal with impossibilities. That deals with what is possible to God. Do we believe that it's possible to God, for God, to come into fellowship with us? Is it possible for God to say, hey, I'm going to walk in the garden with you? Did He not do it with Adam and Eve? So it's a realm of possibility. Faith deals with what's possible to God. Faith then surrenders or lets go of everything that's hindering that and yields to God to do His work. In full assurance of faith. Yielding ourselves unto Him. Just giving up to Him. God wants us to draw near. Let us draw near. What a tremendous admonition. After showing us all of this that is available to us, showing us, hey, the veil has been rent. You and I, we are priests. We can enter into the holy place. When we enter into the holy place, the veil has been rent. Not only can we serve, but we can have fellowship with God. This is available to us. It's made possible by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is guaranteed to us. And now we look at all of that and we say, hey, I want that. And here we have a full assurance of faith. I believe this is possible. And God, I believe, blesses that with His presence in our life. This is the fullness of faith, not fullness of feeling. That comes afterwards. How many of you ever heard the little illustration about the old-time train? There was what? The engine, the coal car, and the caboose. What two are necessary for the train to go? You had to have the fuel and you had to have the engine, didn't you? The caboose is a nice place to ride, but it's not necessary. The engine is fact. The fuel for it is faith. That's the coal car. Guess what the caboose is? It's feelings. Makes for a very nice train. But you have to have the first two, and you need it in those orders. And the fact is, God has made Himself available to us. And when you and I are willing to enter into that, draw near unto Him, believing that, then allow Him to bring whatever feelings He brings. Amen? Not what somebody expects out of you either, by the way. Notice, thirdly, in this sentence or in this verse, he says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. When the priest entered into the holy place, before he did so, he not only had to wash, but he had to be anointed, and there would be the sprinkling of the blood upon him in order to do so. And so it must be with us. Now, the high priest would take the blood in and sprinkle that upon the mercy seat once every year. And that was for our sins. But this was for personal application, and it was to cleanse our conscience. In other words, we must realize that our sins are forever under the blood, and there's no more guilt. One of the problems we have in drawing near to God is we have guilt. We've done some things wrong, we have guilt. And we forget, hey listen, God cleanses, God changes, God saved us. Amen? God did that in our lives. And so now that guilt is what? It ought to be gone. The conscience is no longer that which ought to be bothered. Our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood. And thus you and I can draw near at any time because the blood is there. Again, it isn't our feelings, but in the fact of the shed applied blood. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel guilt? But what did Jesus do for that sin? He shed His blood for it, did He not? Yeah. And the personal application is realizing He did that for me. And He's taken care of my sin. I no longer need to bear the guilt of it. My conscience can be what? Freed. And too often, we don't come into this place of fellowship with Christ because we bear about a guilty conscience. Now let me ask you a question. Who in the Bible is going to seek to give you a guilty conscience? We find He is called the accuser of the brethren. His name is Satan. Jesus said that when He saved us, we were not condemned anymore. Amen? He has set us free. Ye shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. And the truth is that His blood has been applied, and if we would then basically understand that is a personal application. He has what? Placed it under His blood. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is the one who is there to bring us the proper verdict. And no longer is the verdict guilty. The verdict now is what? Not guilty. We have the privilege to come into the throne of God He tells us way back in chapter 4 to come boldly to that throne. It's a throne of grace. We can come there because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just out in the outer court for salvation, but sprinkled upon us for sanctification. We can walk into the presence of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The conscience, what? Having been obliterated. And along with it, he says, and our bodies washed with pure water. You and I, we are tripartite beings, are we not? That means we're three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. And so not only is our inner man cleansed by the blood of Christ, but our outer man can be cleansed by the water. Throughout the Word of God, we find that the Word of God itself is portrayed as a cleansing agent or water. Jesus refers to it as the water of His Word. And we find thus that the pure water of the Word of God is that which can cleanse us. Bodies washed with pure water. And as that priest not only was sprinkled, he had the bath and the laver, he could enter into that place of service, into the holy place. But today we also know what? When we enter that holy place, it's now one room. It is also the place of the Holy of Holies. It's all one room. The veil has been rent. And we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with the Spirit of God. This Word that he refers to, I believe here, being washed with pure water, this Word goes into our spirit from God. That's the avenue of it. And it thus has control over our soul and our body. This Bible right here, as we partake of it, as allow it to what? Cleanse us and to wash us and to do what it needs to do. It comes to us through the Spirit of God into our spirit. And thus our spirit has control over the body, as opposed to the body running things, which is what? Flesh control, as opposed to spirit control. What does God want you and I? God wants you and I to be able to draw near. How are we going to do that? Well, we have to understand, it is a true heart. It's coming with that true heart. And that true heart is one that what? Wants it. It may not feel the greatest, but it has that desire to be near unto God. Let me ask you a question. Let's take a survey. How many feel like you're very near to God all the time? Pretty silent in here. Our feelings are not often there. But by the way, the more we draw near to Him, the more we feel like it. That is something that comes after, but the desire is there to start with. What we fail to recognize is that that is what we can come to Him with, that true heart. You may not feel like it at the time, but that will come, all right? It's with full assurance of faith. Not of feelings, again. It's a faith thing. It's believing, hey, listen, God made this way for me. It's having our hearts sprinkled. And as they sprinkle them with the blood, what for? Because of the conscience, from an evil conscience. That which keeps saying, well, you're not worthy. You're not worthy to come in the presence of God. You ever felt that way? And oftentimes we veer off of it because we don't think we are what? Up to par. When in fact Christ has made us up to par, right? We're not guilty any longer. It's under the blood. And then God wants to wash us with the pure water of His Word, allowing it to do its work in our life. As He is what? Cleansing our lives over and over again. And God says, let us draw near. How? With these things. Draw near. We're also going to see, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And then he says in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So God has three let us here that I believe are tremendous applications now of what he's been teaching us